Welcome to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps. League Apps is the leading youth sports management platform, providing organizations with the technology and professional development they need to run, grow, and win. On a mission to bring the benefits of sport to kids everywhere, they go beyond technology to provide leaders with professional development and relationship building, and to work with sports-based organizations to address issues of accessibility and equality. To learn more, find them at leagueapps.com or as League Apps on all of the social networks. Now, here's the host of the show, longtime soccer broadcaster and voice of United Soccer Coaches, Dean Linke.
I am Dean Linke. This is the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. It is presented by League Apps. We have three wonderful guests on this week's show. We kick off with the head men's soccer coach for Northwestern, Russell Payne, who continues to be a key assistant for U.S. soccer, including being a key assistant, not just a goalkeeper coach, but a key assistant for USA's dominance in the Nations League. He had to leave for the Gold Cup to start focusing on Northwestern, but Russell Payne kicks things off. He is a beautiful man and a wonderful coach. Great to start with him. After Russell Payne, we switch to Larissa Mills, who's now a new part of the training ground. Larissa Mills started the Mental Health Game Academy, where they are empowering athletes mentally, and they offer consulting and growth sessions, mental coaching for athletes to find the power within. A great addition from Dave Simeone and the training ground. Brandon Milburn also encouraged me to get her on, and I'm so glad that we did. And then we end with former past president Ashley Fontes Comber, soon to be Dr. Ashley Fontes Comber. She always does great things, inspirational things. She has made Tallahassee home. And because of that, she has helped start the Tallahassee Reckoning, which will begin play in the W League a year from now. Ashley Fontes Comber breaks down Tallahassee Reckoning and all good things, as she is one of the great people that I've been associated with at the association. So there you have it. Russell Payne, Larissa Mills, Ashley Fontes Comber. That's our show, and it starts after this message from League Apps.
We bet you didn't get into this business for the back office duties. That's why we created League Apps, the industry's leading youth sports management platform, so you can spend less time with busy work and more time doing what you love. League Apps provides organizations with the technology and professional development they need to run, grow, and win. Go to leagueapps.com to learn more. League Apps is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps. Once again, here's the host of the show, Dean Linke.
Kicking off this week's United Soccer Coaches Podcast with one of my favorites, Russell Payne, entering his third season as the head coach of the Northwestern men's soccer team. But just as important is back with U.S. soccer. I guess he never left. I learned that the other day, and he is the man, Russell Payne. Welcome to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast.
Hey, Dino, good morning, and thanks for having me on, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, well, it was great to see you. I'm watching the game, and there I saw you again during the Nations League, and I know you had to leave for the Gold Cup to start tending to stuff at Northwestern, but I guess you never left, huh? I know you were really active when Jurgen Klinsmann was there, but did you stay around, or was there a gap in there?
Yeah, no, I've stayed on with U.S. soccer for many years now. I got started in 2006, actually, with my first U-20 national team camp, if you can believe that. You know, after working with Jurgen for 2 years, I got involved with the youth national teams again, previously being with the 20s, and Jurgen pulled me into the senior team. And then after his departure, I began working with all the youth age groups again. So 14s, 15s, all the way up to the 19s and 20s again. So at this point in time, I've worked with every age group of U.S. soccer on the men's side, and one age group on the girls' side.
I want to remind everybody that you were a big-time goalkeeper, started every year at Maryland from 93 to 96. I think you won an ACC title, maybe more than one. You played overseas at multiple places. You also came back, I think, and played a little bit in MLS, right? You played a little bit in MLS. Is that right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So when you're with the U.S. national team, I mean, you're now a head coach, so you're bigger than just goalkeepers, but is your focus primarily goalkeepers, Russell?
You know, it has been primarily goalkeepers for many years. This last camp I was with the team for Nations League and Gold Cup, my role was actually as an assistant coach, and, you know, I was in charge of making sure the opposition team was set up every day in training, you know, mimicking the attributes of our opponents. And then I worked quite a bit with the back line and also set pieces. So it was really enjoyable having a little bit of a different role and you know, coming out of my comfort zone, usually in the national team, only working in isolation with the goalkeepers and integrating him with the team, being with the entire team for the bulk of every training session was a different experience for me, but I really enjoyed it.
As we all know, Nations League and even the Gold Cup, I mean, more of the Nations League, at least temporarily, there was a little bit of this cloud over, okay, who's going to be the coach? We now know that Greg Berhalter is coming back, so that's done and dusted. But when you were there and you were working with BJ Callahan, did you have any idea that Greg Berhalter was coming back, or was it for you, it didn't matter, I got to get my team ready?
Yeah, it's, I think both, you know, both. One is I didn't know, you know, I think the executives of U.S. Soccer had been going through their search and doing all the things they do to figure out, you know, the next path for leadership and who the next leader is. None of that was exposed to the public. None of that was exposed to the coaching staff either. So, you know, I didn't know. And also, you know, getting called in and short notice, because obviously Anthony Hudson had just departed in late May. And so this all happened very quickly with, you know, BJ stepping up to take over for the Nations League and Gold Cup and him needing to assemble a staff. What was important, which is what is always important whenever you go with the national team, is how can I best get these players ready? How can I best serve and have an impact on the staff and make sure we, you know, were successful in the week or two or three that we're together? And that was it.
Well, you definitely got them ready. I was really impressed with how they played in Nations League. I mean, it was a dominant run, I think. And then to just blow through Mexico and handle Canada in a different way from the last time that we saw Canada, I was really impressed. What was your takeaways from the Nations League?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, you know, any coach will tell you, right, Dino, like if your players are if they are playing free, if they are creating within your framework that you've kind of ironed out and you've worked on, and you can kind of let your hands, take your hands off and let them just go, it's the best feeling. And so that group of guys definitely came into camp pretty motivated. You could tell they wanted to win. You could tell that whatever had happened prior to the camp, they had kind of just come together and said, we're just going to work our butts off because these are two games that we want to take home this trophy. And sometimes when there's that clarity within your team, you see players at their best because they're not distracted. You know, they're not worried about all the things from the outside and things that happened in the past. They're just looking forward. They want to progress. So that was really fun because we were able as a coaching staff to, you know, BJ was able to figure out, hey, this is how we want to play. This is the framework in which we want to make sure this team has the best chance for success. And then it was, hey, train it, see if the players have questions, see if they have clarity about what we want, and then make sure they feel free to express themselves on the field within this framework. And they got it, you know, and it was awesome because we had some of the most high performing players during that 2 week period. They were very open to coaching. They were very open to feedback. There was moments in training that, you know, we'd present something and they'd give us feedback, and then they would take ownership of it by saying, hey, well, what if we, you know, made this adjustment, or what if we, you know, what if my movement was a little bit more here and more here? And we said, that's great. If you feel like you're going to be successful in that way, that's exactly what you want as a coach, as players taking ownership. And that's what they did.
You were very clear that your role was bigger than just goalkeepers, but I do want to talk a little bit about USA goalkeepers. When I was coming up with the national team, we had Tony Miola, Brad Friedel, and Casey Keller. When I was leaving, Tim Howard. Now, obviously, Mr. Turner has stepped up, but with Zach Steffen and so many others, I feel like the USA has never taken a step back when it comes to goalkeepers.
No, we haven't. You know, the goalkeepers you just mentioned, you know, from that era, the earlier era, really set the tone for excellence and high performance and the goalkeeper position for our country. And I think we've had a great model ever since then for all the young goalkeepers to follow. And, you know, knocking down doors, making things available to others, making those positions available overseas is very important. So our young goalkeepers, you know, myself included at the time, you know, in the late 90s, when I saw those guys, Tony and Casey and Brad, and when I saw all those guys making it to Europe, I said, okay, well then that's access, you know, that's accessible. I can do that. And I think that it probably remains true for a lot of the young goalkeepers that have come through, that that's never been a ceiling. It's probably a little harder for field players. You know, there wasn't as many field players, you know, 25 years ago, really kicking down the door to play in larger clubs and larger leagues. But when you saw our goalkeepers do it, it was like, all right, well, we can do this. And I think we followed suit. And, you know, obviously Timmy came along, Brad came along. Those guys had amazing careers, playing in Europe, and then came back to Major League Soccer and continue to give back to the game through that realm. So we haven't skipped a step, you know, and now these keepers are pushing each other. And now they're all sort of on the cusp of winning leagues, or they have won leagues. And, you know, now it's all about, hey, who's healthiest, who's in the best form right now. Tough competition for these guys, but it's good.
Good problem to have indeed. And absolutely. Tying it all together, I mentioned to you that, and obviously I've been involved with United Soccer Coaches for a long time as the voice of the association, and I love it. And at the convention, I went to the Black Soccer Coaches Legends event, and I was truly moved. And if you've been listening to the podcast at all or heard anybody, I have kind of taken that being moved and trying to do something about it. And starting with that point right there, I think you weren't the only Black coach that was with the USA right now, right? I think there's at least one more, right, that's on the coaching staff with the U.S. national team.
That's true. Yeah. For this camp, really fortunate. First time in my career that I've been able to be in camp with another Black coach or two. So Ryan Thomas was in as a goalkeeper coach. You know, he's with Houston Dynamo. And Michael Insian was in as an assistant coach. And Michael's the U16 national team head coach. You know, that was a milestone moment, I think, that we had that much representation. You know, Dean, I have been doing this for a little while now, as we talked about earlier. And, you know, representation has always been a lot to me, whether it was in my career or becoming a coach. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, may look at things like this differently and may not always agree. But I know from my own personal experience as a player, when a coaching staff looks like the group of players that they coach at times, or at least there's representation within the coaching staff, you know, ultimately there's an opportunity for shared experiences, trust to be built, to feel like you belong, which is a big deal, feeling like you belong somewhere, that you're not just there, you know, as an outcast or as just one in a million. You're there and you belong, and people who look like you are welcome there. All the above. And so, you know, I look back at our youth national teams, you know, 15 years ago, and you know, people don't probably remember, but I mean, you know, John Hackworth, when he was in charge of the 17s, he had a group of players, and I think almost 50% of those players, you know, were, you know, players of color or players of African descent as well. And a lot of us looked at that and went, wow, like he's just picking players who are doing well. You know, he didn't make it a point that he was going to staff his team this way or whatever it was. He was like, hey, I'm just going to pick the best players at the moment. And it just happened to be players of color that made up a lot of that team. And now I think our men's senior national team has evolved in such a way that the best players can be picked and hopefully the best coaches can be picked. And also there can be access for coaches. You know, I was at West Point for 10 years, right? And almost 11 years. And one of the things that stood out to me about being at West Point and the leadership always talked about was how the Army should look like, the leadership of the Army should look like the soldiers that it represents, for the same reasons that I just mentioned with soccer. You want to have a successful, have a successful program, successful group. And there's certain that there's things culturally that lead to success to high performing teams. We know that shared team standards, right? Shared connectedness, people feeling like they belong to that group. I take that very seriously. I really enjoyed this last experience. I don't know if it was by design initially. I think it was, hey, who's available? And hey, this makes sense. You know, let's make sure that we celebrate this because we're in a good moment.
Well, you nailed it. I mean, you nailed it. I mean, right through the spine. I mean, because you're right. When you look at the U.S. national team, and I'm glad that it dates back even to John Hackworth, but if you look right now, it is exactly what you're saying. You are seeing a lot of Black players, people of color, representing the USA and doing that in a dominant fashion. And then when you flip the switch, Russell, to the U.S. women, same thing. Now, they need to step it up as well as far as their representation on coaches. That's a topic for another day, but at least on the men's side, from what we're seeing, progress, right?
That's right. I think it's progress. And, you know, it's progress for the reasons that we just talked about, which is if you're going to have players that represent different backgrounds in our country, then that means there are coaches that exist there too. There used to be a stigma that, well, maybe coaches of color, maybe players of color don't want to coach. That's never been true. We've always wanted to coach. You know, maybe players of color or coaches of color don't have the same attributes or level of acumen. I would challenge that very highly. I think, you know, when you invest and you learn and you're educated, And you've got a keen eye. You have to have opportunities to make sure that others can see that. And you can express that and be held to the same standards. That's the way I look at it. So I think it's a good moment right now, as you said, on the men's national team side, and it'd be awesome for the women's national team side to follow suit with coaching as well. I'm not as familiar with what their programming looks like on the coaching level. So, you know, I'm not as educated to comment on that, but I think it's definitely a good moment for all of us right now to embrace.
Russell, one other example, and hopefully there's more like it, and I think it was a similar era. You might be younger than Eddie Pope, so if you are, I apologize, but Eddie Pope is now taking on this massive leadership role back in High Point, North Carolina. I love seeing that too.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for saying I'm younger than Eddie. He'll love that too. Eddie's got me by just a couple of years, just 2 years, but he looks a lot older than me, so that's fine.
Everybody does.
No. Listen, Eddie was one of my mentors, man. Coming into college back in the ACC days when I was at Maryland, and he was at Carolina, and always looked up to Eddie, man. And unfortunately, he scored a goal on me back at the ACC tournament back a long time ago. But no, we played together briefly with DC United. The way he carried himself as a pro, you know, the way he carried himself as a national team player. His family was just awesome and kind. You know, I've always loved Eddie. I love what he's doing right now. Eddie definitely, as a professional, as an executive, is all about representation. He's all about building a team and a program and a culture that is high performing and has access for all people, you know, across our soccer landscape. So, you know, kudos to him, man. And definitely get behind anything he's doing.
All right, two more questions. I referenced it when I called you and told you I wanted to be on, especially seeing your beautiful face with the U.S. team for the Nations League. But then I also told you how I was drawn to go to this Legends event. And in fact, I couldn't quite find it. I walked in an elevator and this man from Cameroon who I'd met on the first day, I just said, take me there. And then after that, it was just incredible, really moving event. And I know you're super busy with U.S. soccer and Northwestern, but I got to believe you're keeping an eye on the job that Nicole Hercules has done. Now they have a new leadership with Andrew Richardson, but Nicole Hercules isn't going away. She's on the board of directors with United Soccer Coaches. When I started back in the early 2000s with United Soccer Coaches, the Black Soccer Coaches group had like 9-10 people. They were in a little room. They had to have the biggest room. It was the best event of the convention. It was off the charts. And I feel like they have kept that momentum going. Tell me, that makes you super happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the number one reason it makes me super happy is that you can see now the impact that it's having on young coaches getting into the game and them feeling like they have a community and a pathway to continue to grow through the game. You know, mentorship is so, so important, right? But mentorship can be difficult because mentees don't always know how to gain access to the mentors. And there's apprehension there to, hey, is that, you know, man or woman even interested or accessible to me? And, you know, how did you get where you got? And, you know, I get that question all the time. And I don't feel like I'm at a destination point in my coaching journey. I feel like there's a lot more I want to do, you know? I always say, you know, it's building a network. You know, I am blessed enough to say that I was recruited by an awesome guy, you know, awesome coach at Maryland, Sasho, and that was kind of my entry point into the game at a different level and kind of a different look at the game. And then I was able to go off and play pro, and that was difficult and it was a struggle, but you know, all those kind of touch points, I was building a network and I was trying to be a great teammate and a great person on each team and a hard worker and, you know, have character values and all those kind of things. And I didn't know it when I was younger, but I was building a network. I was making connections. And so as I got into coaching, then I really started to realize that, man, this coaching thing really is about a network. It really is about a community. It's a small group of folks who really want to, you know, give back to the game and build the game up and also have a chance to make this a career and take care of our families. And so if you can do right by folks, if you can connect with the kind of folks that you align with, you hopefully can have great access to development in your career. The Black Soccer Coaches group used to be pretty small, you know, 20 years ago when I got into coaching, or less, a little under 20 years ago when I got into coaching, I remember going to the meetings at the conventions and they weren't extremely highly attended. A lot of people knew about them. And now to see where a lot of young coaches are like, hey, that's my entry point, or that's at least one of my entry points. and I can connect with coaches who have been in the game for a little while. And I can hear the different stories and I can reference those and kind of use those for my development and for how I coach my kids and how I, you know, build and give back as well. It's awesome. This is what we need.
Final question. You know, I have mad respect that you are now at Northwestern, having been on the Big Ten Network since day one. I just signed for my 17th season as we started the
ball. Thank love you. Having you on, man. Love the voice. Love everything you bring to it, man. I think our audience, you know, attendance, our numbers, our ratings go up whenever we know that you're on. So it's good stuff.
Well, I appreciate that, Russell Payne. But as we say goodbye, can you tell us how you're feeling about the Northwestern Wildcats entering the fall?
Yeah, I'm extremely excited. Maybe you can feel it, but this has been, we had a really strong spring of returning players. We graduated 12, you know, really outstanding young men this past year. And with that, you know, this also means now this is kind of my transition year where I have a big class of 13 players coming in. Half of my team will be new. You know, there's a lot of cultural and tactical things that we've been really building over the last 2 years. Obviously, we'll be a little bit young, but I think we'll have, the kind of attributes in our players and drive and competitive spirit that is going to hopefully cause us to make some waves this year. But I'm really excited about this group, and I know that we're building the right things.
I can't wait. It was a sit up and stand up moment for me, Russell, when I saw you on the bench during the Nations League, and then to learn that you'd been there the whole time anyway. That just shows how you're not like me. You don't brag about anything. And, you know, I brag about the milk I drink in the morning, you know. So, Russell Payne, man, you are the man. Thanks so much for kicking off this week's very important United Soccer Coaches podcast during the 4th of July week. A pleasure to spend time with you. And I can't wait to see you in Evanston.
You know, great spending time with you again, my friend. Happy 4th to you as well. And we'll definitely link up this fall, and hopefully I can give you some really fun things to talk about with this team at Northwestern. Okay.
Always great to spend time with Russell Payne. Coming up, Larissa Mills, who heads up the Mental Health Game Academy. She's been added to the training ground by Dave Simeone. Their message is empowering athletes mentally, consulting and growth sessions, mental coaching for athletes to find the power within. Larissa Mills on the Bounce.
Introducing the first ever CoachCon, presented by Soccer.com in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, August 11th through the 13th. Register now to experience distinct coaching education from top-level professionals and earn a special topics diploma in game analysis or organizational leadership. Spots are extremely limited. Register today at unitedsoccercoaches.org/CoachCon.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast presented by League Apps. As you know, we love to spend time in the training ground. Dave Simeone with United Soccer Coaches has done an amazing job finding amazing people. And let me tell you, folks, Larissa Mills is amazing. She's the founder of the Mental Game Academy, cognitive behavioral sports specialist. I love that. And she says, right under kind of a cut sheet, apparently you are awesome and we want to work with coaches, athletes, and sports businesses. We are here to change the culture of sports one mindset at a time. Have a look at the ways we can collaborate to change the culture of sports. We're going to get into that. We're going to ask her about it and what it means to be an affiliate, a partner, and so much more. But first, we're going to say hello to Larissa Mills, another addition to the incredible United Soccer Coaches Training Ground. Great to meet you, Larissa.
Thank you so much, Dean, and everybody. And I have to say thanks to David. He's just plugging me in with everybody to get here. I'm like, wow, he works fast, that guy.
Well, and it's powerful, just kind of some of the words you're using. You're with Mental Game Academy Services. You can find more by going to thementalgameacademy.com. I think there's an email for mentalgameacademy@gmail.com as well. Yep. So what truly is the name of your company and what's the core of your purpose and your mission?
Well, I think the core purpose is to reduce phone time for athletes and to reduce their social media time so that we can actually see some real performing again and some real mental skills again. Because what phones have done, Dean, over the past 10 years is, if you look at it like this at a scale, so the more technology we use and the more we're on it, then this arrow just keeps going down in terms of communication, socialization, and self-esteem, self-confidence. Then we start to see behavioral issues. So when I started to work with coaches years ago, they started to share their top concerns were, where's the work ethic from this kid? No one wants to listen. No one can focus. All these kids are distracted. My main mission is to help equip these kids with mental skills, cognitive strategies, and the ability for their own intrinsic motivation to want to play, practice, perform. And they have to do it by reducing their phone time. There is no way through this digital tech time. It just will get worse. So we're here to help those high performing teams. We work with professionals, Olympic programs, NCAA, amateur. We work with any level, but really soon as you reduce the phone time, all of a sudden you see these happy kids again. And then they start performing. So that's what we do. One mindset at a time, one phone screen at a time, we change the culture of sports.
It's very clear that you help athletes and you help coaches. Let's break it down. You've got, I think, 5 bullet points on you help athletes. Can you break those down?
Sure. What we do for athletes, and this can be as simple, it's just simple. What we do is we take them through a program called Sharpen Your Pro Athlete. Now, this can be, it depends on age, 14 to 25. We give them each a different program to allocate for age and level of ability, right? So we have a program, let's say, that'll take them through how to build their self-talk, how to build their negative self-talk, how to learn emotional intelligence, because we know, working with the 4 pediatric societies that we work with, because we work in association with them, that children today have less mental skills, psychological, emotional, and academic and physical skills than they did 20 years ago. So we have to ask ourselves why. Why? Because they've been on phones for 16,000 hours by 16. And what this is doing is taking them away from all of those ways in which their brains should have been developed. So when I go to coach, let's say my forte, we can coach any age, but let's say I go in with a group of 16-year-olds. I know that mentally, they're probably functioning at around a 14-year-old, say the psychiatrist and neurologist. They are just now behind. The pandemic was not even part of this. They were already behind before the pandemic. So what we do is mentally assess them, right, in their different cognitive behavioral abilities. And we fill in those gaps, which is great. And all of a sudden, you've got this new kid again, who's like confident, who can control their phone, who can control the routine. Because we know that work, if you want to be a legend, Dean, you can't be on your phone on TikTok 8 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
Right. Because here we have NCAA kids wanting to make it into the pros or whatever. And I'm like, well, first question is, how many hours a day are you on your phone? And they'll say, oh, like 8, 5, 7. I'm like, well, sorry, you won't be going. It's pretty blunt. I can tell you that unless you're, there's a sweet spot between 2 and 3.
Okay.
Our successful Olympians are on 2 or 3 hours a day. And not just, and here's the cool thing, Dean, like our brains, I went and did a master's in science of education. So how our brains learn. Our brains love fuel and they love talking and we thrive off that. But if we don't use our brains the way it's designed, we kind of become lazy. And then when we add dopamine and cortisol from phones, like social media, we just tank and we just get lazy and we just get brain foggy and we just sit there and we just want that dopamine and cortisol. But what it's also doing to our brains is it's also harming our bodies. So it's spiking our heart rate. So here's the cool thing where David was like, what? Say that again. So the one thing that was really cool was if you are playing in a tournament, let's say you're in a big tournament, even an ID camp or a showcase or a professional, if you play in a game in the morning, I can guarantee you that if you go home and do your rolling and you eat, and then you're on your phone for 4 hours a day until the next game, your second game will be horrible. I guarantee you. The reason why is because if you're on dopamine and cortisol for 4 hours, it's like pumping your heart at 140, 160 a minute and making your brain feel like you're running a marathon, but you're really not. Your whole system, your nervous system gets so agitated. It's like, stop. And then you can't function. So that's why you get moody and irritable when people take phones away, right? So if you go out to perform in that second game, I can guarantee you will not be as with it as you were in your first game in the morning. So we actually have real statistics and medical backing for our programs now and physicians that are advocates for this and psychiatrists.
Larissa Mills is very much, quote, with it. as Dave Simeone and the marketing team and Jeff Van Dusen couldn't wait to get you on. So we're so glad that we're able to have you on this week's United Soccer Coaches podcast. Larissa Mills is the founder of the Mental Game Academy. You also help coaches. We're the United Soccer Coaches.
We've got 1,000
members. Talk about some of the ways you do that.
Well, we help in numerous ways. So we know that coaches, especially high-level coaches, are in a pressure cooker. What does that mean? Well, that means like let's say we're in the middle here, we're coaches. We get pressure from our GMs, we get pressure from the organization, we get pressure from fans, we get pressure from the athletes, we get pressure from our athletes, and let's remember, coaches are athletes too. So we have pressure from in ourselves to want to perform. But what we're seeing is, and here's the change in the phone use over the last 15 years, is that coaches, younger coaches, are not quite as strong or as capable with their discipline, their authority, their leadership as, let's say, a coach over 40. Okay. So this group over here of coaches, just younger, need a little bit more help in terms of strategies to help structure a team. So let's structure a team in terms of how can we set up your team with phone strategies to increase performance? They don't know what they're doing. They just let them take their phones wherever they want and they wonder why they don't get discipline. With phones, changes behavior, habits, and work ethic. So for instance, you can get a shoe rack, you can get a shoe box. David liked my metal shoe box my dad gave me 20 years ago. My dad was a football coach. He got rid of the phones right away. He had a number one football coach for years in our city. He was like, phones are the number one distracting, determining factor of a child's success now. And if we don't help them to get into the mindset of a game or a practice as a coach, that's our job. So there are ways in which we can tackle this. So we give coaches different courses to help them manage phones on their team, because it also breeds into, and you and I know though, that there's cyberbullying that happens. And then the parents. So we help them cope with parents. We help them with themselves manage their own stress. So coping, because we don't want coaches to burn out. Because let's just, you and I know that your best coaches will leave first anywhere, right? And we don't want to see that anymore. We're already losing 33% of our coaches or our refs a year. We're already losing 27% a year. We want to keep our good coaches. So what our programs do is equip them with all the tools they need and their soft skills, mental skills, strategies, phones, off they go.
You're not done. You help athletes, you help coaches, and full stop, you help organizations.
Yes, yes. With that, we actually educate and we do a lot of work with parents within the associations. So we believe that parents, if you want a high performance athlete parents, you need to be a high performing parent too. So if I have three competitive athletes myself, three children, if they want to be a high performing athlete, I better learn how to teach them mental skills. I better learn how to help them with their phone habits. I better learn how to have a dialogue with them. There are lots of things organizations can do, like use our coaching, courses, but also we have parents, because we believe, and in science and in sociological behavior, why are you leaving one of the arms off of your ecosystem? You have to educate the athletes, the parents, the training staff, the coaches, everybody in the organization. Because if one arm of that ecosystem is weak, that will always be your problematic arm. So if you educate all of them, you're going to watch your whole organization thrive. I mean, kill it. It's amazing. These kids say like, Larissa, I feel so smart after taking your course. Or I feel like I'm in control of my mind because I'm in control of my phone. These are very common testimonies that are coming out from the kids and the coaches. It's amazing.
Every great cause needs a tipping point. That book by Malcolm Gladwell is one of my favorites. So can you specifically zone in on your tipping point for wanting to start this incredible mission and organization that you're spearheading?
Oh, thank you so much for asking that. We have hit a tipping point in sports where we are now physically losing our refs. We are losing 70% of 13-year-olds. By 13, they're leaving. So what is this doing to your top end development in sports? Well, your pyramid of Olympic options gets smaller and smaller. So instead of 10,000 down here under 14, you're now going to have five. Well, that five moving up becomes 20. It's just less and less kids, right? You're going to have less and less opportunities to be on that Olympic platform. But what I'm really concerned about is kids not participating in sports causes a crisis in healthcare, a huge crisis in education and in healthcare. And what we're doing is equipping the kids with the mental skills they need, because we know that suicide, depression, anxiety are all high. They're at the highest they've ever been in human history, ever. And unfortunately, they're getting higher. What we can do is we're working within the schools as well and putting our curriculum in the schools for the parents, for the teachers, for the coaches, and helping this mission one mindset at a time. Because, you know, parents really want to help this issue, and it does start at home, but now we have solutions to fix it. We actually have ways in which we can fix this. And the Surgeon General in the US definitely is wanting to change things. He knows there's a tipping point now. And so do the physicians, and so do the psychologists. When you reach all of your psychologists on a 2-year waiting list, you're at a tipping point, right? Yep. So here we are. We are just here to educate, but using education as a tool to fix the behavior that's plaguing sports culture today.
Let's make sure we cover it all, as we'll go a little bit more rapid fire, but please say that. I still want you to take your time as well, as we're here with Larissa Mills, the founder of the Mental Game Academy, cognitive behavioral sports specialist. And you posed three questions on this beautiful flyer: want to be an affiliate, want to be a partner, want to be a teacher. Fill in the blanks for me on all three of those questions.
Really simple. We love working with very experienced coaches, soccer coaches, any coach, doesn't matter. And if you feel that you want to be a supporter of this program and bring it to academies, youth, leagues, we're working with professional MLS. And we actually just partnered with Pete Lowe, X-Man City coach in England. And he is 100% behind these programs. And he is one of our partners. And what that does mean is, you know, if you want to partner with us, there's lots of things we can do and look at to do that for your academy or your prep school or your league. If you want to be an affiliate, it's more like our super connector powers out there. If you want to be a coach with us, very simple. If you have a background and experience in any sport, high level coaching experience or counseling or psych or a teacher, we actually provide the training as well here for that. We would love you to be involved. This is a super changer of a solution for all of sports. Doesn't matter which sport though, at all.
All right. Let's give the website and social media one more time so people can follow you. What do we got there, Larissa?
You're going to hit the mentalgameacademy.ca, and we're based in Canada, but we are in 4 different countries right now. You can go to Instagram, the Mental Game Academy. You can go over to Facebook. We're there. You can go over to LinkedIn and find me, Larissa Mills, and speak with me and get a demo for your whole league or your association. We speak to parents, we speak to coaches, and we speak to athletes anytime, anywhere. We're here. We have lots of coaches that can help.
Listen, Dave Simeone, and even on the marketing side, Brandon Milburn, in support of Dave Simeone and Jeff Van Dusen, the CEO, the training ground is really important for United Soccer coaches, and it's really important for them to find the right people. I have to admit, and again, a non-sycophantic way, you have a tremendous aura about you, and I can tell there is purpose with this cause. And so I really would like people to know a little bit more about you. If you could kind of give your elevator speech, like where you were born, where you went to college, and how you found
God, okay, sure, let's go for that. Let's go with the Sunday fun day. Okay, so I am from Canada. I'm a multi-sport athlete. I was raised with brothers. I had to always keep up with brothers. I had NHL players on my street from a very young age who weren't then, but I had to play with them. I had to learn to be tough. I had to learn to just be confident. And my sports elevated from that. But where I really got interested is my brother. My brother was a multi-talented golfer, was supposed to be the next Tiger Woods, won everything. And what happened was he didn't have the other parts of being a legend, Dean. So he didn't have the discipline, the habits, the mental skills training you must do every day to be good, right? Not just practice, not just drills, having the ability to manage phones. And right now I look at a lot of NCAA athletes that come to me and they're on their phones 9 hours a day. I'm thinking, I wish I could help you because you want the stream, but your phones are getting in the way, or social media. So here's where I help my brother, a little bit too late, but, he's now back, Canadian pro, and he's teaching golf again. So yeah, I think that's where I started. And I just saw too many kids quitting. There's too many kids sitting at home and not enough kids outside playing and doing their thing, like whatever sport that is, whatever. There's just way too many kids today that are just sitting around doing nothing. And we want to change that.
You heard me do this with Ashley Fontes Comber, my last word, or in case you missed it, now that you're part of the Training Ground One, and I mean this sincerely, I want you back anytime that you have submitted an article so that we can support it. That's part of what the Training Ground is supposed to do. We're supposed to bring it to life on this podcast. So definitely do that. But again, you heard how I said it to Ashley Fontes Comber. If people heard nothing but what you're saying right now about what you are doing and now being part of the Training Ground, what do you want to leave all of our coaches with?
Coaches, you are capable 100% of changing the way you do things to support your athlete in the digital age. If you don't know how to do it and you want to, we can help. And phones are one of the number one, they derail your athletes faster than anything else. So we can help you do that for them.
Full stop right there. Larissa Mills, founder of the Mental Game Academy, cognitive behavioral sports specialist. Again, you can learn more. She plugged it, but I'm going to do it again because I think she's awesome. At by going to the website, thementalgameacademy.ca, not com, right?
We will be .com later, but just not right now.
Okay, perfect. Well, start with .ca and be ready for .com. And then you can also email by going to mentalgameacademy@gmail.com. And just to make sure people know, again, go ahead and promote social media one more time, Larissa.
Yeah, I would love people to go over and hit us at and follow us on the Mental Game Academy on Instagram. And we are also on Facebook. There's a really neat group there for parents and for kids. You can go on there together. And there's a lot of educational content. There's tips and strategies that you can use there from our social media. Our powerhouse is our LinkedIn. So that's under Larissa Mills on LinkedIn under the Mental Game Academy. So those are our three main, and we're on Twitter. We're getting better at Twitter, but we're there. So pump us out if you feel like saying hello there too.
As we say goodbye, I feel like I can ask you anything because you're like an open book, which I love, but by me kind of three times promoting everything that you can find on your phone, have I walked into any kind of conundrum there at all?
No, because what we want to do is educate everyone on how to use their phone as a tool. But we actually, I actually work with high level performance Olympic teams and professional teams on how to separate your work on your laptop from your phone. So we have tricks around that, Dean. So we have to teach everybody how to balance it out, right? It's just balancing the heck out of tech. That's my key line.
Balancing the heck out of tech. I love it. Larissa Mills, you are welcome back anytime. I'm so glad that you're on the Training Ground. And I have to tell you that people at United Soccer Coaches are super excited about it because they tracked me down to make sure that we got you on and got you on right away. And I'm glad they did because you were awesome. Yeah.
Well, Larissa thank Mills, you.
Great to have you on the United Soccer Coaches podcast. Have a great summer and we'll see you soon. Hopefully we'll definitely see you at the convention in Anaheim if you can make it. Great to be with you, Larissa.
Thank you.
Great to spend time with Larissa Mills. Coming up, wrapping up the show, former past president of United Soccer Coaches, Ashley Fontes Comber, soon to be Dr. Ashley Fontes Comber. Her family has made Tallahassee home. If that's going to be your home, why not get a W League team started? She has started the Tallahassee Reckoning. She'll talk about it when we return. It's Ashley Fontes Comber.
As a soccer coach, you're no stranger to developing your players. But how are you developing your own expertise? As a United Soccer Coaches member, you receive access to a range of resources, like our online learning platform, The Training Ground, to aid in the growth and enhancement of your coaching skills and career. From coaching education courses to lifestyle services, take advantage of new opportunities and member benefits with an annual United Soccer Coaches membership for just $125. Join the home of all coaches today at unitedsoccercoaches.org. College Services registration is open for the 2023-24 season. Now is the time to register your program and begin receiving the benefits of United Soccer Coaches membership. As a member, you gain access to coaching resources, general liability insurance, awards and rankings eligibility, and so much more. As the home of all coaches, United Soccer Coaches serves to support coaches, recognize your athletes' accomplishments, and advocate for meaningful change that protects coaches and players. Register your program today by visiting unitedsoccercoaches.org/college.
Welcome back to this very special holiday edition of United Soccer Coaches Podcast, just 2 days removed from July 4th. I'm so pleased to be joined by Ashley Fontes Comber, soon to be Dr. Ashley Fontes Comber, the outgoing president of United Soccer Coaches. Always love having her on the show. Welcome back.
Thanks, Dean. Appreciate being here as always.
All right, real quick, how much longer before I can really call you doctor?
Well, look, huge milestone. In May, I finally went up and defended my prospectus, which is the biggest hurdle to get over. So successfully did that. There were lots of tears afterwards. It was great, great moment. And now it's collecting the data and writing the final two chapters. So hopefully the end of this year, by spring at the latest, but one of these podcasts very soon, you will be calling me doctor. So I can't wait for that moment.
I can't wait either, indeed. But I may call you doctor anyway. It doesn't matter. You're a doctor in my minds. And I know life's a little bit different post being the active president of United Soccer Coaches. Can you tell us what it's like now being the outgoing president?
Yeah, gosh, it was, I think you don't realize how much of a whirlwind you're caught up in during that presidential year, because there's just so much, there's so many people, there's a lot going on, and you have a great responsibility. And then as soon as we, you know, handed off to Dave, it's like literally handed a huge weight to him. Things slowed down a bit, which was great. And it took a lot of time to reflect, understand, and process what just happened in the past 12 months. What could have been done better? How can I, you know, continue to impact things in a positive manner while I'm still in this, you know, on the board role and everything like that? But it's been great. A lot of opportunities came up, which were interesting. I wasn't expecting. And again, had to go deep into reflection to figure out what's that next step forward.
Well, you're such a bright woman that I'm never surprised at some of the things that you are doing. But I especially wanted to have you on to talk about a kind of a new opportunity that you're working on called Tallahassee Reckoning. In fact, TLH Reckoning. And rather than me try to explain it, I really do want to give you the floor. And I don't want you to, you know, cut time. I want you to tell us what it is and what your goals are and ambitions with this project. Can you do that for me?
Sure, absolutely. So I think the best way to start with that is to tell you kind of how I got there. And then I can explain a little bit more of Tallahassee Reckoning. Look, I am one for purpose. I'm driven based on serving others. So some of the opportunities I mentioned came up were from NWSL clubs, and I was surprised. And this happened starting in October. It was like people were reaching out, hey, GM opportunity. I'm like, this is great. I'm like, the game has changed so much. You know, I had a leadership role when I was with the Washington Spirit when that started, and it was fantastic. But I've been in Tallahassee now. This is my 7th year. And along the way, I've been with this age group of girls, female, talented female athletes that were in the 07, 08 age group. And I've watched over the years and the girls above them fall into the same patterns and barriers, run into the same barriers over and over again that have been going on for decades. And we are in an area that is geographically and institutionally challenged for female athletes. So when those NWSL opportunities popped up I'm like, how do I leave these girls? I'm like, if I leave them, I'm doing what everybody else has done in the past and nothing's going to change. And we have a lot of talented, phenomenally talented players here. So with that, I'm just, you know, stewing and stirring and having conversations across the landscape. What's moving, what's shaking. I'm like, we need to make change. It's time for change. And that's where we came up with it's time for reckoning. So we will be, Tallahassee Reckoning is the first ever professionally operated women's soccer franchise in Tallahassee. What that means is that we are filling that void, that gap for these girls that are aspiring to play in college and the pros that currently and over the decades have been traveling to, you know, like 2.5 hours one way to go train with a club just to get exposed to the college scene. They're going from Jacksonville to Orlando to Tampa to Pensacola, you know, 4 hours away, you know, one way. That's a huge burden on the players. It's a huge burden on their families. And it's just not good enough. So we'll offer supplemental training, put them on that college to pro track. I have, you know, NWSL resources coming in to help support that, not specifically from NWSL, but personnel that has that expertise. To train them from August to April. And then we have a pre-professional team and our reserves teams that will kick off their inaugural season in May of 2024 in the USL. So a lot of things happening here, all for the players. It is player-centered, player-motivated, player-driven.
You did a little bit, but give me a little bit more on why Reckoning, you know, dive a little bit deeper on why you picked that name.
I love it. It means a lot to me. It was the first presidential article I wrote about. It's great. I mean, it's an all-encompassing word. It can be a bit ominous, you know, when we're doing marketing towards, you know, our competitors, hey, come face your reckoning, you know, or reckoning's waiting. So you can have some fun marketing plays on it, right? But when you get into the true meaning within it and what it means to us, and it's on our website with how the crest is made, it's reflection. It's self-reflection for our players. Hey, you know, what do you really want? What is this journey you want to be on? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for that commitment and the powers within you, right? But then it's also for these geographic and institutional barriers that we face. It's like, all right, you know what? These girls for decades, like I still remember one of my teammates at Florida State. She was a local player in Tallahassee. She was commuting to Boca to go play just so she could be seen to play in college, but Florida State's right in her backyard, you know? So it's reckoning for the community, for people outside of the community, for the nation of, we can't just continue to drive resources into metropolitan areas and leave all these other kids behind. We have to continue to work on breaking down barriers to access, to entry, to exposure, to everything. And a lot of people don't want to do it because it's a lot of time and a lot of grind. So, you know, Reckoning, it's face the truths that are out there and what are you going to do about it?
Also, I think it's practical because you are doing a lot of things where you're in Tallahassee, you've got this beautiful family, you're trying to get your PhD, as we talked about several times, as you've been a regular guest and you always will be on the United Soccer Coaches podcast. So what I like about it, and tell me if I'm right on this, I usually have, I think, decent reads. I hope you'll say that, is that you can do this in your backyard. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. It makes it special. You know, my story, I moved around so much. What we've come down to as a family is that this is home. Like, we finally have a home, like Tallahassee is it. And we're here, we're going to do what's right by our community, for our community.
One of the interesting things you said was you'll have NWSL resources, but you'll enter into the USL. The USL has been very clear from another former president of United Soccer Coaches, Amanda Vandervoort, that they're going D1. I mean, I don't know if the word is they're going head to head with NWSL or they're just expanding the reach of Division I pro soccer, but how do you make all of that work? Because I can't imagine they're exactly on best friend basis, for lack of a better word.
Right. Yes. No, that's a great point. Let me be very clear in clarifying this. we are not endorsed or supported by the NWSL or any team in the NWSL, but I come from the NWSL from the get-go, from 2012 when we went from DC United Women to the Washington Spirit. So the connections that I've developed over, you know, the 10 plus year period from people that were there with the Spirit, people that I've been helping every year since the Spirit, those are my contacts and connections. So those folks, if and when, you know, I have reached out and I'm like, hey, look, we need to put something really special together for these players. They know why I do things, the reason behind it, that I'm really trying to help and impact the larger landscape, and they jump in and help. So that's where that's coming from. Not necessarily, hey, NWSL's endorsing, it's USL versus NWSL. None of that, but my contacts and colleagues and peers are, you know, from the NWSL world.
Okay, but you're also smart enough to see what USL has done to expand the opportunities for women in the game, right? And obviously the W League, an amazing success, and now the Super League. I mean, they're so focused on making it right, they pushed it back a year, and they've already announced cities that are locked in with, you know, powerful owners behind them. So as you push forward, is it a natural assumption to think that you're going to start W League with eyes on the Super League, or is W League just fine and dandy?
I think I need to tag along what you said. Look, Amanda Vandervoort's phenomenal. Her vision, her intelligence, her expertise to lead USL on the women's side is one of the main reasons why this was the league we decided to jump into. We need a connected player pathway, and she and her staff are helping do that. And I know there's going to be more to come than just the Super League. But absolutely, that's our pie in the sky vision, like dream. Can we do that? Well, you know, we have to test the market. We have to see how much support we do get from the community. And that since this is new, I mean, we're going to have to build it. So I think in, you know, 3 to 5 years, we'll be able to see where we actually are, but absolutely dream scenario would be, could we get a USL Super League team here?
I need to challenge you on that because of your ties to NWSL. So, you know, let's say you're rolling along and 3 years from now, you know, again, we all love Amanda. We know what NWSL is doing. You have those ties to Mark Krikorian. Are you allowed to change your mind and say, hey, let's find some big money pockets here and consider NWSL? Or is it what you just said specifically? That are you totally loaded, or are you flexible and nimble along the way?
So we do have a time period commitment with USL, which is fine. However, our decision, since look, another golden piece of this is that I'm the owner. I will make those decisions, and I will always make the decisions that are best for the players first and best for our community. So as long as our players are getting the support and resources that they need to see out their dreams from youth to college to pro, we're gonna make sure we set them up in the right way to do that. USL and NWSL, very, very different. NWSL is big market places, right? They're not coming to Tallahassee. They're not gonna come. And that's the problem, right? It's NWSL needs to exist. USL needs to exist. If only one entity existed, it doesn't make any sense. We are not the NFL, we're not MLB, you know, but we need to be able to create more opportunities within this massive landscape that we have in the US. And remember, when you look at the political map, we're mostly rural. And I think we forget that a lot of times, like across the country, we are rural. So you only have, you know, a limited number of metropolitan areas that can sustain major professional sports teams that can pack, you know, 20 to 80,000 people in stands. We can't do that. I mean, we can do that at Florida State when our football team's doing really well, right? But we're not there yet. And there's a lot of markets that deserve to have opportunities for girls and women on and off the pitch that are smaller markets, but they could sustain a very, very good W League team, a very, very good Super League team, And that is the beauty of USL, because they will make the sport much, much more accessible than anybody else has done.
Oh, that makes perfect sense, and kind of makes my question silly, but I still feel like I had to ask it just based on your ties to everybody, right? Because everybody wants a piece of you. I was excited to hear that NWCL teams have been calling you to be a general manager, but you woke up with your family, said, this is home, let's make this happen. And it looks to me that a lot has happened already. You are standing, as we're doing this podcast, it, you know, you can see the logo, Tallahassee Reckoning. Mm-hmm. The logo looks fantastic. So how much have you guys done already?
Yeah, look, we've been hitting the ground running, working hard behind the scenes. We did our official announcement event on June 21st, which was really well received to the community. We had good media coverage over it. So I worked with one of our local creative design companies, Grova Design or Grova Creative, and they did a phenomenal job on this logo behind. And then when you go to the website, you can look at what the crest actually means. I mean, it blows you away, but you can, it'll create a better story and picture of why we're doing it, why there's gonna be so much pride in wearing that. So yeah, lots of work done, but still a lot to do.
Okay, but you know, I never leave an opportunity to promote. What's the website, Ashley?
Sure, it's tlhreckoning.com.
Okay. And I gotta believe, knowing you, when you say owner, I also think that you are CEO maybe, or maybe you'll hire a president or whatever, but I feel like you're not just an owner, you're all in, you're hands on. You'll have like another title, won't you, with that?
Yeah, right now it's owner of all hats. But
that's awesome.
But
nothing's changed.
Right. But that's just to make sure we lay the right foundation first and bring the right people in that understand that this is player first and it's community first. Tallahassee is a very different market than any place I've ever been in. It's one that has not lost family values, life values. It's not overrun by capitalistic ideals. It's treasured, and it's a very, very special community. So bringing in the right people, whether they emerge from Tallahassee themselves or like bringing in a GM or a coach, they have to understand what they're getting into here, and making sure that person is absolutely right is going to be critical. So I will eventually keep stepping back, because again, this is also part to create great opportunities for other people to come in and have these experiences.
Which is always great, but along the way, there will be bills to pay. So I think one of the important things that'll need to be done is maybe additional quote owners, sponsor support, you know, ticket sales won't like, you know, buy you love, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you get you a little bit, but you're already thinking about all that stuff, right? Because it can't be all your money, Ashley. It's got to be some support, right?
Right. Absolutely. So we do have sponsorship conversations going on already. We have this one sponsor that I think they really want to come in. I hope they come in. They would be absolutely phenomenal, but hopefully we have some announcements coming up soon. But yes, sponsorship memberships are going to be big. And then look, when we start really eyeing what the market looks like to be able to sustain a professional level team, we're going to have to open it up to more owners and just fully open it to the community and whoever wants to invest.
I think you're telling me, and I don't know if you're still going to be doing stuff with Atta as well. Are you still going to dabble in other things, or is this full focus on Tallahassee Reckoning?
Yeah, so no longer consulting with Atta Football at all. I still do advising and consulting, because I mean, that's just the nature of the beast, where I'm very committed to the full women's landscape. So where help is needed, I will absolutely support. But this is the Tallahassee Reckoning is number one priority, to make sure we have it built, set up for long-term sustainability and ability to thrive.
All right. You're going to need a coach as well. When do you plan to do that?
Absolutely.
And when do you plan on playing? When will you start playing as the Tallahassee Reckoning? Next year already?
Yes. So coach, general manager coach is the first hire we're looking for. That search is going to be opening up soon. And again, that one's going to be, I think, the most critical to understand what we're trying to do here and to really believe in the mission and vision. and be willing to commit that long-term, you know, make that long-term commitment to us. But we don't start playing until May of 2024. So if we could get a coach hired in this fall, that would be the ideal situation.
Here with Ashley Fontes Comer, part of three wonderful guests on this special, what we're calling July 4th edition of the United Soccer Coaches podcast. Our other guests, I just wanted you to talk about a little bit. So first is Russell Payne, who is the head coach at Northwestern. Beautiful man. The guy is gorgeous, but he also is now continues to be with U.S. soccer. When they won the Nations League championship for the USA, he was on the bench. He had to go back to Northwestern to get ready for the college soccer season. But I went to the Black Soccer Coaches Legends event. You were recognized there. You won an award there. That event was so powerful, Ashley, that I've been uplifted and I want to tell all of their stories. You were there. That event was awesome, right? They have it going on.
Yeah, it was great. Look, that's been a long time coming. The work that the Black Soccer Coaches community has done has been phenomenal. And they continue to build their leadership team, their reach, their connections, everything. But that event was just an absolute blast. It was a true celebration of all the hard work, the hurdles that have been overcome, and where we're going to go. So it was a great event, and definitely that's how the convention should end every year, is with that celebration.
All right. As we end and say goodbye, I like to do what I call the last word, or in case you missed it. And I've got to admit, I didn't know what the Tallahassee Reckoning was. I had no idea. Now I know that it's a team coming into the W League. If people heard nothing but what you say right now about your new and exciting role with the Tallahassee Reckoning, which I just think fits perfectly for all that you are about, what do you want to leave them with?
Tallahassee is not just the capital city of Florida. It is where Reckoning is happening. It's coming. It is time for change. Big things for women and girls in soccer in Tallahassee. Check us out.
Well, you said check us out. Let's end with that. One more time, the website. And if you've got social media, where can we find more about Tallahassee Reckoning?
Yep. Go to tlhreckoning.com. Check us out on our website. You can also follow us on social at tlhreckoning.com on Instagram and Facebook.
Always organic, always enjoyable. I don't know what I'm going to do because you were kind of like my Zen backstage for the Honor Awards banquet. I don't know what I'm going to do without you back there, but I hope to see you at the convention, and anything I can do to help you with the Tallahassee Reckoning, I'm in, okay?
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Dean. Thank you so much as always.
Always great to visit with Ashley Fontes Comer. Nice to have Russell Payne on, and how fun will it be to have Larissa Mills on? She'll be on the first Thursday of every month leading up to the convention with all kinds of great topics. Be sure to pay attention to that. I want to thank Bailey Conklin, Brandon Milburn, Sarah Wilbur, Lee Jarrow, Erica Dyer, Jeff Van Dusen, all the great people at United Soccer Coaches. I need to thank my producer, Colin Thrash, for each and every one of them. And all of you, hope you had a happy and safe 4th of July. And I'm Dean Linke. We'll see you next week for another edition of the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps.
Thanks for listening to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps. League Apps is the leading youth sports management platform, providing organizations with the technology and professional development they need to run, grow, and win. To learn more about League Apps, find them at leagueapps.com or as League Apps on all of the social networks. And to learn more about United Soccer Coaches, visit us at unitedsoccercoaches.org.